Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Top Gun, Vacuum, by Michael Anderley, narrated by Eva Wilhelm. Chapter 1. A harsh and unforgiving cold wind sliced at Mia's face like a ghost wielding an angry razor. She stood at the edge of a jagged, icy crater. Hints of blackened remnants poked out from the thick layers of snow. The dark scar testified to the massive destruction that had taken place there, delivered by her hand. A frustrated grunt sounded to her side, the cry of a defeated cult leader, Cecilia Ryle. Charlie loomed over the woman with nothing but anger and resentment in his eyes. Cecilia glared from underneath her hood at the uneven mounds of snow and ice filling the crater, her eyes filling with disbelief as Mia had wanted. Cecilia tugged at the restraints on her wrists.
"You're fools to have brought me back here. You should have killed me when you had the chance. Instead, you stayed in the K-cap and returned to ice."
A wild gleam filled her eyes.
"You returned to a heavily patrolled prison system. It's as if you're asking them to capture you and perform more experiments. Did you enjoy it so much that you felt compelled to return?"
Mia surveyed the crater with a detached look. She had to be careful what she said. The goal of the current mission was to get actionable intel out of Cecilia, not to win a war of insults. She hadn't left the woman alive because she was above killing Cecilia. There was no way Cecilia would survive once she'd outlived her usefulness.
"I couldn't keep you asleep forever on the ship, and our little conversations were growing annoying," Mia explained. "The Erinyes is equipped for infiltration missions. It wouldn't be our first time sneaking in and out of this place."
She turned to Cecilia. "I need information from you, and you're going to provide it. That's why we're here. That's the only reason."
"Why bring me here?" Cecilia asked. "Why take the risk? What does bringing me here accomplish?"
"It's not much of a risk. We took precautions beyond my obfuscate system, and I know how far to push things. You can say I learned from my mistakes." She motioned at the crater. "I needed you to see this to understand your position. Telling you something isn't the same thing as showing you, and bringing you to the place proves it in a way that a picture never can. You can't accuse me of faking or manipulating the truth."
"What are you trying to convince me of? That I'm your prisoner? Wouldn't it have made more sense to have taken me to what's left of Black Ice?"
Cecilia scoffed.
"You're not as clever as you think."
"I thought you were all about genetically engineered superiority."
"Mistakes and dead ends can happen, even when the changes are guided."
Mia shook her head.
"Too bad you feel that way. I always meant to bring you here. You needed to see the remnants of the lab."
Cecilia's glare was colder than the Arctic winds blowing past them.
"You're supposed to have improved mental capabilities. I'm beginning to question that."
She nodded at the crater. Then Charlie.
"You two have come a long way for nothing. What's the point of coming here?"
"Look at it." Mia pointed at the crater.
"Why?"
"Look!"
Cecilia narrowed her eyes.
"There's nothing there. Even if there had been, you made sure there was nothing left. Your arrogance has wasted your time and mine. I'm disappointed in you, and I'm sure your father would be too."
Growling, Mia marched to the professor and shoved her onto her knees. She wouldn't let Cecilia goad her. She leaned close to whisper.
"That's right. There's nothing left. All your work is gone. There's nothing left. We destroyed it all."
"You have no idea what you're talking about."
Cecilia's mouth quivered. Her eyes darted back and forth.
"You blew it all up. You can see that for yourself, as you said. Good for you."
Charlie bared his teeth and growled.
"She's hiding something."
"You know nothing. Neither of you pathetic mistakes does. You should have given me your ship and let me continue my crusade. Instead, you'd throw away your lives by trying to disrupt the Pluribus Draconis Protocol.
Cecilia let out a long, melodramatic sigh.
Despite you both understanding how your enhancements make you superior, you deny that for the rest of humanity.
You want chemically induced slavery for the rest of humanity, Mia replied. What good is it for everybody to be improved if somebody else pulls their strings?
Do you feel happy with all your freedom, Mia?
Cecilia's look was pitying.
Wouldn't it have been better if you didn't have to feel any of that pain and suffering? What has your quest for revenge wrought but sadness and bloodshed? What did it earn your father to seek freedom?
Mia's fingers twitched. She fought back the fire burning within, which had been happening ever since she learned how Cecilia had ordered the death of Mia's father. The entire mission had started over the death of her father. She'd learned the truth and found the woman responsible. Ending Cecilia Ryle was as right and natural as anything Mia had ever felt. Executing Cecilia would have been easy. Killing her on an ice-covered world where the climate would preserve her body for centuries would be poetic. Future archaeologists would find her body and wonder what she'd done to deserve her dark fate.
Revenge was satisfying.
It also wasn't enough. Not with everything Mia had learned about the dark forces behind her father's organization, the Reapers. The revelations of the Pluribus Draconis Protocol meant Mia's mission couldn't end until she'd destroyed all vestiges of the influence of Icarus and Cecilia Ryle throughout the galaxy. Seeking personal satisfaction over that mission would lead to far more suffering in the future. Mia licked her frost-chapped lips and drew a gun. She pushed it against the back of Cecilia's head. "You killed my father."
"He stood in the way of the evolution of humanity," Cecilia retorted. "I won't apologize. If that's what this is about, then kill me now. Everything I've done for our species. Can most men and women say the same about how they spent their lives?"
Despite her defiant tone, Cecilia's face flashed with fear. She didn't turn to look at Mia. She stared at the crater, her gaze searching from mound to mound as if finally taking in where they were. Charlie inclined his head toward the crater and Cecilia and finished with a shallow nod. Despite Cecilia's defiance, she reeked of fear. With so few other distracting odors around, it was hard for Mia to miss even without her enhanced senses. The interrogation was working. Mia wanted to believe her demeanor scared Cecilia, but the woman had only radiated aggression while conscious on the Erinyes. She'd not offered any hints of fear until Mia mentioned returning to ice. The true terror had only unfolded when the Erinyes had dropped them off outside the crater. The key to using a weapon was understanding it. She needed to set aside her ego. "You're not scared of me," Mia announced.
"You're a child pretending she knows something," Cecilia sneered at Charlie. "So are you. Neither of you understands what you're up against. Killing me won't stop what's coming. Disrupting my family has only delayed it. That remains a crime against humanity because it delays their ascension, but no one can stop the inevitable."
Mia gestured with her gun.
"If you're not scared of me, what are you scared of?"
Cecilia swallowed.
"You shouldn't have come back here, you fool."
"Why?"
Mia motioned to the crater.
"We thought it might remind you of something, jog something loose in your twisted brain."
She narrowed her eyes. "Because you know more than you've let on, and you're going to tell me. You can't fool me anymore by pretending to be programmed and controlled."
"You're an idiot. You'll die before this is all over, like your idiotic father. Given how he died, it was inevitable that you'd meet the same fate. Are you so eager to join him?"
Mia bit down the growl that wanted to erupt and faked an amused smile. Interrogations required the interrogator to maintain control of the emotional situation. Mia needed to call the shots or it was all for nothing. "I'll die? From what?"
"You've said it already," Cecilia replied. the clones of Icarus have survived.
The clones of Icarus were all burned up in a nasty, massive explosion, the same one that made this crater. Mia kicked snow and rock into the opening. Charlie and I made sure of it. If they'd survived, news would have leaked out about them escaping ice, and the KCAP would have far more to worry about than me and my friends.
Cecilia stared at the crater, trembling and her feet shuffling. The stench of fear wafted off her, distinct and unmistakable. She hadn't been that afraid at any point aboard the Erinyes, despite Mia having everyone threaten her at different times, even Ryoko. Mia had hoped the quiet pilot might unsettle the prisoner in a different way than the more obvious threats like Charlie. Mia had thought about spending a week alone with Cecilia aboard the Orpheus in an attempt to break the professor down with a combination of threats and true isolation. She'd decided against it, instead storing the infiltration ship in a long-term berth at an independent station with a good reputation in the Fringe until her crew needed it again. Her current plan wasn't her last resort. It also wasn't far off from that.
"You don't want to die," Mia commented. "That much is obvious, no matter how much you keep acting like you don't care. If you want to hold on to any hope of pushing your plan, you'll need to survive me first, rather than worrying about theoretical clones skittering around."
"You're not going to kill me. I gave you every reason to already, and you didn't. You don't have it in you."
Charlie growled. "She couldn't stop me if I decided to kill you."
Cecilia tried to smirk, but the fear in her eyes ruined the effect.
"You're only her pet. You won't do anything she doesn't tell you to do, brute."
Mia glanced between Cecilia and the crater. She shrugged. "Black ice is gone. The lab is gone. You don't have a data pad. We leave you here and you freeze to death. It won't be as quick as putting a bullet through your head, but it'll still leave the galaxy a better place. I might not be willing to pull the trigger, but I can convince myself to leave you here and consider if I want to come back. It'll be up to you to survive that long."
"No," Cecilia cried, still staring at the crater. "You can't."
All that defiance gone so quickly. Mia holstered her pistol. "I like the idea. I could return each year on my birthday, look at your frozen corpse, and be satisfied that I avenged my father. We'll have a little picnic near your body. Maybe grill some meat."
"You think my body would still be around?"
Cecilia scoffed. The fear lingered in her eyes.
"Why wouldn't it be?" Mia asked.
"There aren't any native life forms on ice. That's why Charlie had to resort to cannibalism when he escaped the lab, and all escaped prisoners stayed close to their prisons. There's nothing here to eat you, and the microorganisms adapted to live in this environment won't break down a frozen body. Someone can clone you in the future. You can be like your hero." Cecilia's gaze drifted over the edge of the crater. Her eyes widened. She flung her hand to the side.
"Don't you see it? Don't you understand? I thought you were supposed to have superior senses, yet you missed the obvious tracks."
Mia's father had spent years training her to recognize different types of tracks in various terrains and weather. She didn't need that training to see the so-called tracks were only holes in the snow layer from rocks that had been blown that way. Cecilia's angle to the pits and inferior vision had combined with her paranoia to betray her.
"Yes,"
Mia whispered with a careful nod at Charlie after ensuring Cecilia wasn't looking her way.
"Something's there. You see this place. Those are fresh tracks. Maybe I was wrong.
I don't care. They can kill you and we can kill them. Serving as bait for Icarus clones means you'll die doing something useful."
Cecilia's breathing quickened to hyperventilation. "You don't understand. Death is one thing. Dying while suffering is another. He's coming. He's come back. You didn't get all of them."
"Icarus?" Mia asked. "You can't be sure those are clone tracks. It could be tracks from surviving prisoners."
"It's him!" Cecilia shouted. "He's alive!"
"How can you be so sure?"
"I've told them nothing!" Cecilia shouted. "I kept your secrets as I promised you when you visited me!"
Heart racing, Mia drew her pistol and crouched in front of Cecilia. When was that visit?
After you destroyed this place!
Cecilia's face contorted in a pained mix of fear and rage.
Don't you understand? He's not dead. You've failed. You're so smug despite your failure to take down your greatest enemy.
Mia nodded and stood. Paul, can you hear me?
Yes,
her flightmate answered through the tiny receiver concealed in Mia's ear. Come and get us. We got what we needed. I didn't want to hear it, but I got it. Cecilia glared at Mia.
He'll kill you before your friends can pick you up. One of his clones survived your rampage.
It had been bothering me. Mia gestured at the woman. You've been bothering me, and what you told me now pulls everything together. I didn't understand how somebody as crazy as you could have kept under the radar, and how you could have built up that entire cult. You're too fanatical and inflexible when things go wrong. She shook her head. Fanatics make good soldiers. They make poor generals because they're too driven by emotion. I knew there was something you were holding back. Mia inclined her head toward the crater. Now I get it. That bastard's still alive, and not some knockoff clone from ICE. He's been keeping you in your madness, helping you and getting you access to young, smart people to warp, to fuel your cult and the ambitions of your twisted dream. Cecilia inhaled deeply, the fear ebbing from her face.
It doesn't matter if he's come back to ICE. The clones could survive. You didn't stick around to verify their death. That was your mistake. Now we'll both pay for them.
Those clones would be important, if we were near the lab's remains, or on ICE. She backed away from Cecilia, enjoying the confusion on the woman's face.
What are you saying?
It's simple. Mia gestured at the crater. We're not on ICE. We're on a planet in a different system that isn't in the K-Cap. My people made this crater on my order last week during one of our little chats. Expensive way to dig using missiles, but effective.
That's not true, Cecilia sputtered. This has to be ICE.
It's true. You said it yourself. It's dangerous, even for my team, to go to ICE. I wasn't about to do it as a minor interrogation tactic. You didn't strike me as the type to memorize every local feature of an icy wasteland, especially since your contributions to the project weren't as focused at that level. Mia folded her arms. Now, let's talk about Icarus. You confirmed he's alive. Give me one good reason why I shouldn't leave an obvious message for him and leave you tied up in a room on an outpost so he can dissect you and turn you into his next-gen experiment.
You wouldn't dare.
Mia exchanged an amused look with Charlie. Why wouldn't I? You've made it clear you won't give me any useful intel to help me take down the protocol. I don't want to waste weeks, if not months, breaking you. I don't have government-level resources to hold you safely. If I let you go and pass along to Icarus that you gave up the truth about his survival, I know he'll punish you slowly and painfully. I get my revenge either way. That's the definition of win-win.
No. No. No.
Cecilia punctuated each word with a firm headshake.
You can't do that. That's too cruel.
Charlie growled. She can. You deserve far more than that. A monster can't cry for mercy when someone puts it down.
He's right, Mia added. Give me a reason not to do it. Give me useful intel. You say Icarus is alive. I believe you. Tell me where he is, and you don't have to suffer a slow and painful death. Cecilia stared at Mia.
You can't win if you go against him directly.
I've beaten him more than once. Mia gestured at Charlie. We took down a whole lab filled with Icaruses. I'm not afraid of him like you are. He's only another target to me. Cecilia didn't respond. Howling wind covered the sounds of her heavy breathing.
I'll tell you,
Cecilia finally offered, her head bowed. In exchange for your life?
No.
Cecilia grinned and lifted her head, the insanity in her eyes unmistakable.
I understand now. This was supposed to happen. You were supposed to capture me. I was supposed to suffer and send you to him. I'm to be the final instrument of his will, the final challenge of the protocol to prove its superiority.
You were afraid of him torturing you, Mia noted. That was a minute ago.
You will fail. He's advanced the protocol far enough that the conspiracy you're so afraid of has effective control of the K-Cap. It's impossible for you to win against the entire K-Cap.
Bullshit. He was afraid when I dealt with him last. Somebody was pulling his strings. He wasn't the man in charge. He was their soldier.
That's what he wanted you to believe. All you did was provide him a convenient opportunity to step out of the spotlight and manage things from the shadows.
Cecilia smirked.
Then he repaid you with the bleaker conspiracy bait. He's been manipulating you this entire time. The only chance you had of surviving any of this was to stay hidden on your home planet. But no, you had to go after him in this foolish, pointless quest. Now you'll die a lot more slowly and painfully than me.
Charlie growled and stomped, sending up a spurt of snow. She's lying. Mia wanted to believe that. That would have made everything easier. Icarus surviving, combined with what she'd found in the ice lab when rescuing Charlie, pointed to the man being far more dangerous than she'd believed. There was another possibility. A lie required a conscious decision to pass along something other than the truth. The wide-eyed, ranting woman in front of Charlie and Mia had left her sanity behind far away and long ago. She could be telling the truth as she believes it, Mia clarified to Charlie. That doesn't mean she's not batshit crazy and detached from reality. The wind shifted. A pungent odor assaulted Mia's nostrils and roiled her stomach. She drew her gun and spun. Shadowy forms crept to the top of a ridgeline.
Damn it, Mia muttered.
All this wind covered the sound of them coming. Paul, you need to hurry the hell up.
I'm hurrying the hell up, he protested. You also told us not to sit right over you in case somebody showed up. Remember the whole I don't want it too obvious?
And Debbie, too, Mia added. I thought you said we wouldn't have trouble with local wildlife.
There haven't been any reports of local wildlife in that area, Debbie, too, replied. It's possible the bombing might have attracted some.
Mia grunted. Perfect. They've been sitting around for a week waiting for food to arrive. The shadowy forms advanced, resolving into a pack of what resembled allosauruses covered in white fur, each beast making Charlie look small. Their pack hissed as one, the sound not loud compared to the wind, but leaving Mia unsteady.
It's true, Cecilia exclaimed, laughing. This isn't ice. I never had to say anything. Well played.
Mia yanked Cecilia to her feet and shoved her behind. If you're getting any ideas about sacrificing yourself for the conspiracy, these creatures don't care if you're dead before they start eating you. I wouldn't bet on being able to pass out as they take chunks out of you. Charlie reached underneath his jacket and drew out his long shotgun.
Didn't Debbie too say the creatures on the planet all have really thick hides?
Yes, the AI replied over their comms. Surprisingly so. The furry creatures didn't charge down the ridge, roaring in defiance. Mia would have preferred that. Instead, the pack broke into two equal forces and spread out with unsettling caution. Stay close to the crater, Mia ordered, lifting her pistol. They can't charge easily into that and get back up. The terrain is too even and the slope too severe.
I'm going to die in an animal's stomach, Cecilia spat in disbelief. What bizarre nonsense!
Mia pointed her gun at one beast. Knowing how an animal would react to a firearm was difficult. Life on every planet and moon was different. Firing a small weapon could scare off entire swarms on some worlds, while calling them on others. She squinted through the snowy haze, trying to line up a shot between the eyes. The creatures advanced close enough that Mia could make out bony plates covering their eyes and forehead. The planet was mocking her.
Cecilia dropped to her knees and wrapped her arms around her legs. Don't you see? I'm being punished for betraying him.
Oh, now Icarus is supposed to be a god? Mia scoffed. You are nuts.
She kept her gun pointed at the closest beast. The creatures strolled forward, silent except for the crunch of their feet in the snow. Every second they didn't attack was another second paw could bring the Erinyes down. The beasts marched around both sides of the crater, bobbing their heads up and down. Their thin, clawed arms twitched. They were too close. Mia couldn't let them get into striking distance. Even Charlie might not be able to survive being munched on by a mouth filled with teeth the size of knives.
On three, Mia murmured with a nod at Charlie. One, two, three.
Pistol and shotgun fired at different targets in perfect tandem. The loud crack cut the wind and echoed among the nearby hills and ridges. Mia's shot struck an eye plate, cracking it. Charlie's massive shotgun blew a hole in his target, showering the snow with fleshy chunks coated with coppery blood. Both animals reeled back. Rather than roaring, they let out an unsettlingly loud hiss. Their packmates scampered forward, but even the native beast's movement through the deep layers of snow and ice was awkward. Mia lined up another eye shot and fired three times in rapid succession. The eye plate cracked, similar to her first shot. Her second shot broke it off, and her third ripped into the eye, covering the beast's face with blood. The creature hissed and stumbled back without falling. At the same time, Charlie swept to a new beast and tore into it with a shot. He turned toward another target. Despite the initial damage and reeling from the enemy creatures, none of the furry dinosaurs looked ready to drop. Charlie's and Mia's initial victims lunged forward, trying to close the distance on the humans taunting them with firearm pokes. Mia walked several rounds up the exposed abdomen of a charging beast with only faint hints of green dyeing the white fur. Her fourth shot sent the creature running to the side without collapsing, but its packmates shifted to charge her. The creatures were closing on both sides. A beast roared back as Charlie tore out a chunk of its neck. Another hissed and lunged at Cecilia. Mia grabbed Cecilia's shoulder and yanked hard, tossing her into the crater. The beast's snapping jaws closed around empty air. Cecilia yelped as she hit a large ice chunk and rolled without dignity toward the center. Mia squeezed rounds into the head of the creature and leapt backward as it tried to bowl her over with the sweep of its bleeding head. Charlie jumped backward into the pit. A beast opened its mouth and jerked forward, trying to swallow him. He pulled the trigger. Rounds tore through the back of the head, confirming the creature's armor was only on one side. The massive beast swayed before collapsing and knocking up a cloud of snow. Its compatriots leapt back, confused by the sudden death of their packmate. Mia jogged down the side and caught up with Cecilia, whose coat and face had torn on hard-packed ice. The professor groaned as she stopped at the bottom of the crater. The beasts circled the crater, dipping feet over the edge before yanking them back. They weren't eager to charge into a hole they might not escape, nor did they seem eager to leave as the survivors spread out around the crater's edge, hissing. A dull roar sounded from above. The clouds obscured the source. The beasts lifted their heads, hissing and snapping at the sound. A huge shadow broke through the cloud layer, dimming the entire area. The Erinyes.
Are those furry dinosaurs? Paul transmitted.
Something like that. Mia brushed snow off her shoulders.
Armored, furry, dinosaur-like creatures, to be more precise.
Need us to kill them? Paul asked.
You open up with the turrets and you're more likely to bury us than save us.
Oh, yeah.
Just buzz them. If that doesn't work, we'll move on to my backup plan.
Which is?
Still figuring that out. The Erinyes' main engines kicked in with a bright flash. The ship tore away in a different direction before turning hard and zooming back over the crater. That was all it took to send the surviving beasts lumbering away from their meal.
Mia frowned at her pistol. I need to start carrying a bigger gun. Mia loomed over Cecilia in her infirmary bed. They'd secured the prisoner with straps and applied first aid. Her trip into the crater had busted her up, but nothing serious.
"Are you going to wait to die?" Mia asked. "You try to pretend you're so in control, but you're afraid of him.
Even if you believe we can't stop him, don't you want us to take him out?"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?